Hallelujah. Let's turn tonight in our Bible to the book of 1 John. I want to use that text. How about that? Change my text in the middle of the stream. But thank you, Brother Ken, for helping me. 1 John, I'm sorry, chapter 5 and verse 4. And this read it many times, but it really got a hold of me a while ago, the service. And it says very powerfully, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Did you get that? And whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Did you hear that? If that's not awesome, I don't know how to find an awesome verse. That's overwhelming. This is the victory. This is the victory. You say, no. The victory is God. It is God. Oh, yeah, it's God. But it's your faith in God. It's your dependency on God. It's your trust in God. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even your faith. Again, that's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And I'm going to read it again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born again, born of God, born again, born by the Holy Ghost, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I mean, that's just overwhelming to me. That God would put such a triumph in the working. He would accomplish such marvelous feats. He would break every power that hell possesses. He would put the devil in his place. He would make it absolutely plain that the enemy has been defeated, that the devil is a beaten foe, that we operate from victory behind us and in front of us, and everything in this church and in this kingdom is victory. But it depends on your faith to move into that realm of victory. You're just a bystander until faith takes over. You're just watching from the sidelines till faith takes over. Brother Ed, that's powerful. You just over there in the mix of viewing and watching and you see it all and you know it's in the book, but you never experience it until faith takes over. Until you start believing that God meant what he said and said what he meant. Until you start believing that when you trust God, the devil can't do a thing about it. When you start depending on God, the devil is as defeated as if he was already in the pit of hell. When you start believing God, when you start trusting God, the just shall live by faith. Say that with me, would you? The just shall live by faith. Number two, the just shall live by faith. Number two, I mean the sermon this morning. Number one, tonight, number two, the just shall live by faith. Father, if ever you've helped this preacher man to be a blessing to his congregation and his people, if ever you've helped us to learn the joy and the victory that is truly ours, that's absolutely ours, that's unquestionably settled, help us, God, to understand that tonight and move us into that realm of triumph and victory in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. Remember now, remember, very important, the just shall live by faith. Notice that word live again. That word, the just shall live by faith, speaks of a continuation. It speaks of a lifestyle. It's not talking about an experience. It's talking about a way of living. It's talking about a way of walking with God. It's talking about your whole life. 7-11. Every day, every month, every year, as long as you are a born again Christian, until you get to the other side and cross over that old River Jordan, you are dependent upon trusting and depending and living by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now this morning I preached about our righteousness is by faith. And I have felt such a joy over that one thought that has overwhelmed me for several days now. I'm hungry to be a righteous man greater and more intimately than I have ever been. And now I know it's available to me. And it's available to me by faith. It doesn't just fall on me because I'm claiming to be a servant of God. It's not just something automatically that God does whether I believe him or not. My Bible says you have not because you ask not. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So when you come to a place of settled faith, a place of settled confidence, a place of settled dependency on the things that God offers you, they become your possession and you live in them. And we start with righteousness. If it doesn't start with righteousness, it can never occur. If you don't first receive righteousness from him, if you don't first start committing yourself to live right also, you remember that. You remember that. The Bible says keep his commandments. The Bible said walk in obedience to him. The Bible says do his will. But once you have walking in obedience to him, you're trusting him, you're serving him, you then depend upon him to put a righteousness in you that's bigger than you are, that's greater than you could ever accomplish, that grows and grows and gets deeper and richer and sweeter and more prolific and more powerful. Grant God your righteousness to flood our soul. Then I preached about worshiping by faith. Man, that one has really got a hold of me all day. Hallelujah. I just want to take off and worship with all I got. Don't need to fill a thing. I worship because I know whom I'm worshiping. I've learned who he is. I've learned how great he is. I've learned how mighty are his promises. I've learned how complete his love is for me. That I'm one of his children. That he is passionately in love with his children. That God's people are loved by the Father. He cares about you. And he wants you to worship him. And he will not make you. You must do it of your own will, of your own desire, of your own passion. And then I enjoyed preaching about how he takes care of our enemies for us. If we'll trust him. If we'll trust him, he'll take care of our enemies for us. He'll put them in their place. Oh, I never forget the story of David marching out of Jerusalem at the head of his indescript army. I mean, his son was marching in the town to take over the kingdom. His son was defeating his daddy, David, the great king. And David was marching down the road, going out of town, on his way, leaving the capital city in fear of his son, in fear of his son's army, in fear of his son killing him. And as David marches out and down the street, out of town, here's an enemy over there that sees the king and comes out of his house and starts assaulting him with ugly words and great cursings. I mean, he was really laying it on David. And David had a servant that loved him. He said, Brother King, you let me go take care of him. I'll go put him in his place. And he was ready to go over and remove his head from his shoulder. David said, you let him alone. He said, you just let him alone. God's up there listening. God's hearing every bit of this, and God's seeing every bit of it. And he knows what that man is doing, how he's blaspheming me, and how he's coming against the king. He's coming against the servant of God. He said, you just leave him alone. You said, you let God take care of him. If I am the servant of God that I'm supposed to be, he's going to be in a heap of trouble with my heavenly Father. And of course, God took care of him, and David marched on, and it wasn't but a few days until he's coming back in victory. The son is dead. The army of the son is defeated, and David is back in his kingdom and back the king of Israel, and God took care of all of it because David would not take out revenge on his enemy. David would not attack and kill his enemy. He put him in God's hands. He put him in God's hands. You put your enemies in God's hands. You put your enemies in God's hand. Now, number four, I want to talk about our victory over fear. Our victory over fear. I don't know whether you've ever looked much at fear in the Bible, but fear is an awesome weapon of Satan. Fear is an awesome weapon of Satan. I would suggest that every one of us have had some times of tremendous fear since we've been saved. Tremendous fear. Oh yeah, I've had them. I've had some times of fear that just debilitate you. Leave you feeling like you've been stripped of everything meaningful. I mean, fear can really do something to you. Fear is an awesome weapon of Satan. But the Bible makes it very plain that God has defeated fear. Do you understand that? That God has defeated fear, and that fear is a victory over fear is one of the great victories that you have in this Bible. I'm telling you, God's Bible answers everything you have need of, folks. Do you understand that all you got to do is take this Bible serious, and everything you have need of, God is in the business of taking care of it. God is in the business of taking care of it. He's an awesome God. Do you understand that? He's an awesome God, and he's in the business of taking care of everything that you have need of. Nothing, nothing, nothing is outside of the realm of his wonderful love. Hallelujah. In the book of 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. God gives us this great statement spoken by the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy. I would say that Timothy, being the young man he was, being new in the faith, as we would see in this particular passage, that he was having trouble with fear. That, you know, there was a lot of things happening. Apostle Paul was stoned. And I mean, there were so many efforts made to kill Apostle Paul that to become a friend of Apostle Paul was a life-threatening decision. And Timothy had made that decision to be a friend of Apostle Paul. And so Paul writes to him about this business of fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now every Christian in this building ought to memorize that scripture. You ought to get it on your vocabulary. The word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you have fear, it didn't come from God. I want you to understand that. Now if you have fear, it didn't come from God. If you're getting scared of enemies and you're scared of what tomorrow holds and you're scared of whether you're going to get to keep your job or not, and there's some fear of that in this building, and I understand it, but you don't need to be afraid. I said you don't need to be afraid. You can trust him who made it all and is in charge of every bit of it. You can trust him, and he's not given you the spirit of fear. So simply rebuke it. Tell it to go. It didn't come from God. The beautiful thing about the Christian life is nothing that comes from, that doesn't come from God, do you have to put up with. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. Do you hear that? Anybody listening? Do you hear that? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Perfect, listen now. Perfect love casteth out fear. You get that? Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear can only hang around where love is incomplete. Fear can only hang around where love is imperfect. Fear can only hang around where somebody is always acting out of love, without love, beyond love, angry, mad, upset. I mean, when you get anything opposite love working in you, it opens the door to incredible things. Now you got to listen to me a little bit, because I got to say something here that I think is powerful. I was praying for a family the other day, and this is a whole family. There are people that I love, man, do I love them, and there is a stronghold among them. And it is so incredible. It is spreading its tentacles all over that family. All over that family. There's one or two within the family that are not being affected by it. But everybody else in the family is being affected by it. Don't try to guess who it is. That's not for you to do. I want you to listen to what I'm preaching. And I was praying, Lord, how do I help that family? I'm overwhelmed. And the Lord spoke to me and showed me where that spirit of the evil one had come in and created a fear of anger, a fear of disgust, a fear of vengeance, a fear that would, you know, when you get angry and you're absent love, you open the door. And this is not somebody that anybody, almost nobody in this building is any attached to this family. I want you to understand that. I'm praying and I'm believing and I'm trusting God. But I know that stronghold of the devil have created a feeling of genuine hatred and darkness in one part of that family. And it's spreading its tentacles all over the family. And they're being affected, and they're going to be lost if somebody don't pull down that stronghold. You see, perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And if we'll believe God together until he breaks that old spirit of anger and fear, hallelujah, then the whole family will start feeling some relief. And who knows, it may open the door for conviction of the Holy Ghost to spread all over that family. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to be real careful here with my words because I'm not up here to criticize nobody. I'm trying to give you an example. Don't let nothing make a hole in your heart and fill you with fear and fill you with any degree of anger, fill you with any degree of resentment. Don't let nothing make you depressed over the anger and the feelings you have. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life and get this love. Hallelujah. Oh, break that power to fear. Break that power to fear. How do I do it? You do it by faith. Hallelujah. You throw your hands wide open. You throw your heart wide open. You throw yourself before God in utter abandonment and say, God, I can't do nothing about it. So I'm coming to you and I'm trusting you to do something about it. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. God casteth out fear. You understand that? God casteth out fear. But you got to trust him. You got to believe him. You got to turn it over to him. You got to put it in his hands. If you have any problem with fear, I would to God right now. So why don't everybody just raise a hand so that those who have fear won't feel like they're being centered out. Raise your hand. And if you have any degree of fear, you bind it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You bind it by the faith of Christ. You bind it by the power of that blood. You bind it by the work of Lucifer and the devil and tell him you will put up with him no longer. You will not tolerate it. That you belong to Christ and you trust him. You got to have the courage of a bulldog. You got to have a backbone like a saw log. That's what you got to have dealing with the devil. He don't mess around. He don't back off just because you say boo. You turn it over to God. Hallelujah. You put it in God's hands and he pushes him back. Woo, somebody help me pray. I count fear gone right now. I count fear defeated right now. I count the love of God casting out fear right now. I claim the love of God moving on somebody's heart and setting them free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a God we serve. Now this is what faith does. Faith casteth out fear. Faith casts out the power to fear. Let me move quickly so I don't fail to get this sermon tonight. The next victory we need is a victory of joy. A victory of joy. God has ordained that the church world be full of joy. I don't think there's a word in the New Testament more often than probably the word joy. Am I right, Brother Marlon? The word joy. It's just over and over in the New Testament. You read the book of Acts, and how many times do you see them full of the Holy Ghost and joy? How many times do you see? I mean, you see Apostle Paul on a ship with 200, I believe it was 70. I'm trying to remember how many people it was. 286, I believe it was. And he's in this boat, and the wind is tearing it all to pieces. And he's as calm as a cucumber. He's just as calm as he, that's an old saying. He's just as calm as he can be. He knows the God who is in charge of that storm. He knows the God who's in charge of those waves. He knows the God who's in charge of those seas. And what's he got? He's got joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And peace that passeth all understanding. That is the heritage of the church, of the people of God, is joy. Did you understand that? That's your heritage. He meant for you to have joy. He didn't meant for you to be a sour person. He didn't meant for you to always be down in the mouth. He didn't mean for you to always be all in such a state that you were miserable. He meant for you to live in joy. But that joy comes by faith. That's a promise of God that comes by faith. You claim joy. Hallelujah. Oh, the Holy Ghost is joy. Let me tell you something else is joy. Sanctification. I promise you, you get getting sanctified and it takes out everything of you that would make you unhappy. It takes out every hindrance of joy. It cleanses you out of everything that would keep you from being a joyous person. So you can have joy tonight. It's God's will for you to be a joyous Christian. It's God's will for you to be full of a shout. It's God's will for you to go to God's house and at least once in a while be on your feet praising God and shouting. It's God's will. It's God's will that there's a triumph inside of you that just sets you on fire and you can't be still. You wonder why Brother Chambers is always shouting. I'll tell you why. Because I've always got joy. Well, that's occasionally, the enemy comes like a storm and I allow. Hey, listen to this. I allow him to temporarily steal my joy. How many of you have ever allowed the devil to temporarily steal your joy? Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have never had it in a long time, because that'd be a few. You don't have enough joy in your life. But it's God's will. It's God's heritage. It's God's promise. It's your inheritance. It's absolutely your inheritance as a Christian to be full of joy. It belongs to you. You're supposed to have joy. You're not supposed to be anything but a joyous Christian. You've been saved. Your sins are gone. If you've trusted him, you've been sanctified and the power of sin has been broken. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, Holy Ghost and fire, and you don't have joy? No. Something's wrong. Something's missing. Somebody help me. Joy is your heritage. Joy is the children's bread. Can I say it that way? Joy is the children's bread. Brother Ed is the children's bread. Brother Williams, it's the children's bread. It belongs to you. Raise your hand and claim it. I claim joy like I've never had it in all my life. I claim joy running up and down the avenues of my soul. I claim joy absolutely setting me aflame and making me a blessing to everybody that sees me. There's nothing like being around a joyful person. Hallelujah. 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 You hurry back. I want you to hear this sermon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Joy is a wonderful thing. Joy is a wonderful thing. Joy is a wonderful thing. And you can have joy. And it's by faith. It's so simple that it's by faith. Did you hear me? That is about as simple as you can get. It's when you say something is yours by faith. All you got to do is believe God for it. And you got to do more than believe God. You got to really believe God. You know, you got to believe God. You got to believe God. It's got to be real. You know what you do when you believe God? Father, I believe you for joy. Hallelujah. Thank you for joy. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. I mean, you claim it and then you act it. And you say, well, what if I act it? It's not real. You just keep on acting it. It won't take long. It'll be real when it's done in faith. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have joy. You can have joy. It's your promise. God meant for you to have it. There's nothing worse than a Christian who's always an old sour mouth. There's nothing worse than a Christian who's always looking down their nose. There's nothing worse than a Christian who never has any satisfaction of the things of God. It's terrible. You do more harm than you do good to the kingdom of God. I never forget hearing sinners say, if that person has got Christianity, I don't want it. I got all the problems I can handle already. I can't stand being miserable like they are. I couldn't stand it. I've seen so many Christians that I couldn't stand having to be like them. I could not take it. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to praise the Lord. Now, I am working on my picky. You know, I'm so bad to just want a kid all the time. And I've had to really work on that. And I've not got it completely whipped yet. I catch my mouth running when I hadn't put my brain in gear sometimes. And I'm picking. You know, because it's just so part of me for all these years. Oh, but I'm determined to live in the joy of the Holy Ghost. I'm determined to live in the joy of the Holy Ghost. And that's number five. Let's go to number six. I really like this one. Do you know what people are supposed to do that are Christians? You're supposed to live in expectation of leaving this world and going to that heavenly home. That's how you're supposed to live. You're not supposed to live looking for a bigger house, looking for a nicer car, looking for a bigger paycheck, looking for more income, looking for more pleasure moments. No, that's not what you live for. Looking for the city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abraham was a pauper. He owned nothing but tents and slaves and horses and camels and I guess sheep and maybe goats. I mean, he had a great herd, but he didn't have a piece of land. He finally bought a burial ground for his wife and himself. That's the only piece of property he ever owned. He served a God whose name he had never learned. Because God had never told him what his name was. Here was Abraham, and he's a pauper as far as land is concerned. He just wanders from place to place with his great herds, looking for grass, looking for a place for them to graze. He doesn't know the name of his God, but he certainly is grateful that his God's real. He knows that. He knows he's real. And Abraham looks for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He never had a city to live in until he went down to Egypt and got in trouble. That's right. He never had a city that he could call his home. I've got a city I call home, Roxborough, North Carolina. Beautiful little town there in the tobacco country. And I love to say I'm from Roxborough. I have no problem with it. It's good to know there's a background. My dad had a beautiful home, and that home is still there, and it still belongs in the family. We've even got a Chambers graveyard, but I don't have no interest in that. That's for sure. I plan to go up in the rapture. Hallelujah. And so I've got it, but Abraham didn't have any of that. But I tell you what he had. He had a faith that says there's a city that I've not got to yet. I'm just going down these hills and through these valleys, and I'm looking and I'm watching, and I can hardly wait till I see that city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And he lived in the joy and hope of his long home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we must learn by faith to claim our long home and live for the city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. The older I get, the hungrier I get for home. I'm talking about long home. Hallelujah. A city without foundation, whose builder and maker is God. You need to live in this. Let me tell you something. You get your eyes on heaven, this world won't mean much to you any longer. You get your eyes on heaven. You go to thinking about, I was thinking of the day. I was considering walking down Hallelujah Boulevard, having myself a time just of praising and shouting. And I look down the boulevard, Sister Judy, and yonder comes Wade H. Horton, that great old preacher that was my best friend, one of my best friends. And I see him coming, Wade H. Horton, and I yell, "Brother Horton! Brother Chambers here!" And I start running, and he starts running, and we embrace. And I say, "Brother Horton, let's just spend a couple weeks together. Hallelujah. And talk about those old days of Pentecostal fire when the Holy Ghost was falling like rain on the people of God." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to my long home. Upsets my wife sometimes when I talk about this, because she thinks I'm fixing to leave her. I ain't going nowhere without you, girl. I'm taking you with me when I leave out of here, if God will let me. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you something, folks. My long home is right down the road. How many of you are looking forward to your long home? Quit living for this crazy world. Quit living for this messed up mess. Quit living for these things that are so dark and cumbersome. Hallelujah. And start living for your long home. This is faith. That's what the Bible, what do you think that scripture about Abraham living by faith for his long home is at? It's in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Man, you can't get any closer to faith than the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I mean, that's the center. That's the center of God teaching us about this wonderful faith. This wonderful faith. Verse 10 of Hebrews 11. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And it said, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Tabernacles or tents. Talking about tents. Ain't talking about some beautiful, ornate tabernacle. built by with gold and silver. He's talking about a tent. A tent. That's what he lived in. But his eyes was on home. Hallelujah. His eyes was on his long home. That's what faith does. That's how faith teaches you to live. See, the church world is full of people that never think about heaven. Heaven is almost a non-subject in the church world today. Heaven and hell both have just faded out of the equation of most theological positions of people. Oh, let me tell you something. Heaven is just as real as it's ever been. And heaven is a place of absolute joy. It's a place where holiness is perfectly reflected in every action and every deed. Ooh, hallelujah. And bless the name of the Lord. So, the joy of expecting heaven. Living by faith. How many of you really believe that heaven is real? You really believe it? Why aren't you jumping up and down shouting? How many of you really believe heaven is real? How many really believe one day soon you're going to be walking on streets of gold? How many of you believe one day soon you're going to be running down Hallelujah Boulevard and angels are going to be serenading and singing in a way that will make music so immaculate and so awesome. Hallelujah. I mean, I've heard some good music, but I ain't heard nothing yet like I'm going to hear. I can't wait till that choir goes to singing. I don't know how many will be in it. Probably a couple of 10, maybe 10,000, maybe 20,000. That great orchestra with all those musicians and those trumpets and all those. Oh, great. They start singing. It will be heaven like you ain't never heard. Hallelujah. It'll be joy. You need to live for that. You need to get that in your heart and in your life. That needs to become a part of your everyday existence. Am I right or wrong? That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Brother Johnson, he's turning you upside down. Hallelujah. I hope he just keeps on. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing like living for heaven. Now, I got one more point. One more thing. I've dealt with six. This is seven. Divine healing is yours by faith. How many remember what I said this morning? 70% of all pain... 70% of all pain is nothing but a lying work of Satan to deceive you into accepting that you're sick and dying. I tell you right now, scare you to death. Your old chest goes to pounding and it feels all tight. And you say, I wonder if I'm having a heart attack. I know what you probably did. You ate like a pig. Now, is that right or wrong? You just ate too much, and now you got indigestion, and you think you're having, and the devil whispers, heart attack, tell him he's a liar. Tell him, devil, you can't threaten me with heaven. Because if I have a heart attack, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you something. By his stripes you are healed. By his stripes you are healed. And I want to promise you something. If you totally belong to God, you can't die until he's ready for you. Unless you accept it. You can't die until he's ready for you. It's impossible for the devil to kill Sister Chambers. It's impossible. He can't do it. He cannot do it. I won't let him. I'll stand right in his face and plead the blood against him and cry out the name of Jesus until he fades into the background. Hallelujah. I know the God we serve. I know the mighty power of the healer. I know the mighty power of him who suffered the stripes on his back that you might be healed. Do you hear me? He wants to heal you. He wants to make himself real to you. He wants to give you a touch of heaven's grace and heaven's power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all by faith. Claim it and stand on it and then act on it. When Jesus heals you, he usually says, take up your bed and walk. Most people lay around waiting. Will Jesus please heal me? And he tries to tell you he's healing you, and you sit there worrying about it. No, get up and claim it. Hallelujah. I mean, claim it. I love the Bible. I love it. I love it. I love the Holy Scripture. Let me read to you 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Oh, I love his word. I love his word. I love his word. 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore your sins. He took them on himself. You wonder, can you be forgiven? How could you not be forgiven? If you ask, if you believe. He bore them for you. He's already took them. They've already been before God. The blood of Jesus has already washed them. It's done. That's what it says. For his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were. Does anybody have that word were in your Bible? What is the word were? Is that not done? Something of the past? Something that's already been accomplished? Something that's finished, my brother? Something that's complete? Were healed. Did you know that you've already been healed? You said, Brother Chambers, you don't know how I feel. I know how you feel because I've been there. But did you know you're already healed? Did you know he's already done it? Did you know he's already done it? Well, you don't have to die of disease. You can die of old age. And some of us getting close on that. That's okay. God has a time for you to go. Every saint of God has a time set for you to go. God in his sovereign power. See, that's something the Calvinists missed in their crazy theology of limited atonement. They missed that God has you in his sights. And he knows exactly what he plans for you. And there's a day, there's a time for you to be born. The Bible says this. And there's a time for you to die. How many of you knew that was in your Bible? Would you find that in your Bible there? Can you find that? A time to be born and a time to die. How many of you believe there's a time to die? Well, then you have no reason to worry if you're not there yet. Just wait on him. Oh, hallelujah. Time to live, a time to be born, a time to die. We have a God who is so faithful. We have a God who is so complete in everything. Now, all you got to do is claim that healing because it's done been done. It's bad English there, but it's done been done. It's all finished. It's all complete. And it's yours. Hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand and say, it's mine. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. I'm healed by the power of Jesus' name. I'm healed by the power of the cross. Did the Lord heal you, Sister June? The Lord healed you. Stand up and praise him for it, would you? Hallelujah. Stand there a minute. God healed her about, 4 or 5 weeks ago? And the doctor confirmed it, right? And she's healed. Hallelujah. We prayed that Sunday night, I think it was, and God touched her with a miracle. How many of you have been healed? Stand up if you've been healed. If anybody in this building who's been healed by the power of Jesus Christ, stand up and raise your hand and thank him for it. Now, if he's done it one time, he'll do it again. If he's done it one time, he'll do it again. He wants to heal you. He wants to work his miracles in you. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you, he's everything you have need of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I've got to live by faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Everything that you're facing. I close with these words now. Everything that you're facing. Everything that you're dealing with that's of the enemy. Every struggle, every fear, every problem, every enemy, I don't care what it is, total. He's already took care of it. And all you lack being there with it is faith. You can move from here to your victory in faith right now. I want you to meet me in this altar. Every person, meet me in this altar. Give us some good music if you don't mind there, if you can pray while you play. If you can't pray and play at the same time, just pray is more important. Hallelujah. Come and stand before him. I wish every saint of God would be in this building, would be in this altar. I wish you would. I wish you would. I want you to know that by faith, every promise there is, you got it. I want you to know that by faith he's everything you need. I want you to know that. Are you listening to me? By faith he's everything you need. Now this altar is where you need to be. Come quickly in the name of the Lord. God wants to give you healing. What do you need tonight? Do you need joy? What do you need tonight? Do you need to be rid of that fear? What do you need tonight? Do you need to be rid of your enemies? What do you fear tonight? What are you concerned about tonight? Raise your hand up and give it to Christ. Turn it over to Him. Turn it over to Him. Turn it over to Him. Now let's pray. Everybody together in concert like a great army of saints. Let's pray. Lead us, Brother Marlon.
Father, we thank you, Lord.
Oh. Such assurance, such certainty, such power, that all we got to do is move in on faith and it becomes ours. Heal the sick tonight. Heal tonight. Heal tonight, Sister Andra. Let virtue flow through her body from her head to her toes. Faith flow like a river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I put these old fears in the hands of the King. I put these anxious feelings. I put my enemies in the hands of the King. I'm rid of it. I'm free of it. I turn it over to God. I ain't picking it up. I turn it over to God. I surrender everything. I give it all to God. I give it all to God. I give everything to God. I give everything to God. I give it all to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Give it to God. I surrender everything. Holy Ghost, do a work deep. Holy Ghost, work a mighty miracle. Let fire fall. Let fire fall. I'm looking for fire to fall. I'm looking for Holy Ghost anointing to fall. I'm looking for great tongues of fire by the Holy Ghost. Get us ready to go out and turn a city upside down. I'm waiting on you, Lord.
We trust in you, Lord. We trust in you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Everybody praying. Everybody with a hand up, believing. I'm believing. I'm claiming. I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It's biblical for me to say, raise your hands. Without wrath and doubting, I'm believing. Without wrath and doubting, I'm believing. Without wrath and doubting, I'm believing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody, hallelujah. God give somebody a miracle. God give somebody a miracle. God give somebody a miracle. Oh, I want somebody to get a miracle. Hallelujah. 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 I believe you to heal. I believe you to strengthen. I believe you to lay your hand on us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm not in any hurry, Lord. Just do a work in this place. Do a work in this place. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm living by faith. Can you say it? I'm living by faith. Starting tonight like never before, I'm living by faith. I'm living by faith, Sister Johnson. I'm living by faith. I'm living by faith. I'm living by faith, Sister Lucille. I'm living by faith, not by feelings. Feelings have no bearing on true faith. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Morris, hallelujah. You believe this? You do, don't you? Hallelujah. This old time Christian faith. I mean, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. I'm so glad he reminded me of that scripture. Oh, let the Holy Ghost have his way. Raise your hand and just let the Holy Ghost move on you. Father, let your Holy Ghost move on every one of these saints. That early church was constantly being filled with the Holy Ghost. They'd come together and the Holy Ghost would come down until the building would shake. Shake this old place, God. Shake it, shake it, shake it. We don't want it just paid for. We want it shook. Hallelujah. 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 Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You remember that? That's for the Christian as well as the saint. The blood was shed to give you this victory. Hallelujah. You have access to the Father by faith, through the blood. Accessed by the Father through faith, to the blood. You can get anything he's got. You can get anything he's got. It's all yours. It's all yours. You have a right to it. Are you willing to claim it? It's the children's bread. It's the children. Your joy is the children's bread. Raise your hand and receive that joy, will you? Lord, fill me with joy until I shake my church with my joy. Till I shake my church with my joy. Till I shake my home with my joy. Hallelujah. Fill me with joy. Hallelujah. Fill me with joy. Get my eyes on heaven. Off of this crate. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm driving you crazy, aren't I? Aren't I, Brother Allen? Up there moving. You've got to follow me now. You can't just keep in the middle of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? How many of you love him? Do you believe what I preach today? How many of you really believe that I preached it today as straight as I've ever preached it in my life? I believe this sermon is the greatest need of the church world. I go to churches and they'll sit there and look completely empty until you get the music fast enough for them. If you ever can get the music at the right pitch, they kind of come alive. I'm going to tell you something. You're full of the Holy Ghost. Music is wonderful. I'm for it. I'm for shouting, brother. I never loved it. Man, if you'd have saw me Wednesday, you'd have said, Brother Chambers has lost it. It was breathtaking. I like it. I like a shout, brother. Do I like a shout? I want this church to have more. We need more shouts. We need more shouters. He amplified that, I believe. We need more shouters. We do. But they need to be real shouters. Not a bunch of noise. I love you, church. Remember, Wednesday night's Bible study, you shouldn't miss it. You really shouldn't. I don't think you will. I just think you're getting on fire and you can't miss it. That's just what I think's happening. And then Saturday is breakfast. Brother Marlon's breakfast. And would you believe he started cooking more biscuits that you could actually eat? He used to take them all home with him, and we fussed until he started having some for us. Him and sister Dolores, they like this stuff like that. They like them. Hallelujah, but not me. I want them good and crisp, and I don't want much inside either. I want them kind of narrow. How many like narrow biscuits that are put a lot of crust? Oh, I like it, good and brown, but not black. I love you, Marlon. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you love them, will you? Tell somebody. Tell Brother Eddie how much you appreciate his music and playing. Tell my good brother over here on this organ, Brother Marcus. Brother Marcus, hallelujah. You just keep working on that, okay? Come out here during the week when you got time. Practice a couple hours. I mean, get in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you love them. Somebody hug Brother Morris's neck. My dear Baptist pastor. Hallelujah. Don't you leave here, Brother Morris. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Tell everybody you love them. Hallelujah. 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 Let's turn tonight in our Bible to the book of 1 John. I want to use that text. How about that? Change my text in the middle of the stream. But thank you, Brother Ken, for helping me. 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 4. And this read it many times, but it really got a hold of me a while ago. The service. And it says very powerfully, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Did you get that? And whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Did you hear that? If that's not awesome, I don't know how to find an awesome verse. That's overwhelming. This is the victory. This is the victory. You say, no. The victory is God. It is God. Oh, yeah, it's God. But it's your faith in God. It's your dependency on God. It's your trust in God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Again, that's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, and I'm going to read it again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born again, born of God, born again, born by the Holy Ghost, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I mean, that's just overwhelming to me. That God would put such a triumph in the working. He would accomplish such marvelous feats. He would break every power that hell possesses. He would put the devil in his place. He would make it absolutely plain that the enemy has been defeated, that the devil is a beaten foe, that we operate from victory behind us and in front of us, and everything in this church and in this kingdom is victory. But it depends on your faith to move into that realm of victory. You're just a bystander until faith takes over. You're just watching from the sidelines till faith takes over. Brother Ed, that's powerful. You just over there in the mix of viewing and watching and you see it all and you know it's in the book, but you never experience it until faith takes over. Until you start believing that God meant what he said and said what he meant. Until you start believing that when you trust God, the devil can't do a thing about it. When you start depending on God, the devil is as defeated as if he was already in the pit of hell. When you start believing God, when you start trusting God, the just shall live by faith. Say that with me, would you? The just shall live by faith. Number two, the just shall live by faith. Number two, I mean the sermon this morning. Number one, tonight, number two. The just shall live by faith. Father, if ever you've helped this preacher man to be a blessing to his congregation and his people, if ever you've helped us to learn the joy and the victory that is truly ours, that's absolutely ours, that's unquestionably settled, help us, God, to understand that tonight and move us into that realm of triumph and victory in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. Remember now, remember, very important, the just shall live by faith. Notice that word live again. That word, the just shall live by faith, speaks of a continuation. It speaks of a lifestyle. It's not talking about an experience. It's talking about a way of living. It's talking about a way of walking with God. It's talking about your whole life. 7-11. Every day, every month, every year, as long as you are a born-again Christian, until you get to the other side and cross over that old River Jordan, you are dependent upon trusting and depending and living by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now this morning, I preached about our righteousness is by faith. And I have felt such a joy over that one thought that has overwhelmed me for several days now. I'm hungry to be a righteous man greater and more intimately than I have ever been. And now I know it's available to me. and it's available to me by faith. It doesn't just fall on me because I'm claiming to be a servant of God. It's not just something automatically that God does whether I believe him or not. My Bible says you have not because you ask not. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So when you come to a place of settled faith, a place of settled confidence, a place of settled dependency on the things that God offers you, they become your possession and you live in them. And we start with righteousness. If it doesn't start with righteousness, it can never occur. If you don't first receive righteousness from him, if you don't first start committing yourself to live right also, you remember that. You remember that. The Bible says keep his commandments. The Bible said walk in obedience to him. The Bible says do his will. But once you have walking in obedience to him, you're trusting him, you're serving him, you then depend upon him to put a righteousness in you that's bigger than you are, that's greater than you could ever accomplish, that grows and grows and gets deeper and richer and sweeter and more prolific and more powerful. Grant God your righteousness to flood our soul. Then I preached about worshiping by faith. Man, that one has really got a hold of me all day. Hallelujah. I just want to take off and worship with all I got. Don't need to fill a thing. I worship because I know whom I'm worshiping. I've learned who he is. I've learned how great he is. I've learned how mighty are his promises. I've learned how complete his love is for me. That I'm one of his children. That he is passionately in love with his children. That God's people are loved by the Father. He cares about you. And he wants you to worship him. And he will not make you. You must do it of your own will, of your own desire, of your own passion. And then I enjoyed preaching about how he takes care of our enemies for us. If we'll trust him. If we'll trust him, he'll take care of our enemies for us. He'll put them in their place. Oh, I never forget the story of David marching out of Jerusalem at the head of his indescript army. I mean, his son was marching into town to take over the kingdom. His son was defeating his daddy, David, the great king. And David was marching down the road, going out of town, on his way, leaving the capital city in fear of his son, in fear of his son's army, in fear of his son killing him. And as David marches out and down the street, out of town, here's an enemy over there that sees the king and comes out of his house and starts assaulting him with ugly words and great cursings. I mean, he was really laying it on David. And David had a servant that loved him. He said, Brother King, you let me go take care of him. I'll go put him in his place. And he was ready to go over and remove his head from his shoulder. David said, you let him alone. He said, you just let him alone. God's up there listening. God's hearing every bit of this, and God's seeing every bit of it, and he knows what that man is doing, how he's blaspheming me, and how he's coming against the king. He's coming against the servant of God. He said, you just leave him alone. You said, you let God take care of him. If I am the servant of God that I'm supposed to be, he's going to be in a heap of trouble with my heavenly Father. And of course, God took care of him, and David marched on, and it wasn't but a few days until he's coming back in victory. The son is dead, the army of the son is defeated, and David is back in his kingdom, and back the king of Israel, and God took care of all of it. Because David would not take out revenge on his enemy. David would not attack and kill his enemy. He put him in God's hands. He put him in God's hands. You put your enemies in God's hands. You put your enemies in God's hand. Now, number four, I want to talk about our victory over fear. Our victory over fear. I don't know whether you've ever look much at fear in the Bible, but fear is an awesome weapon of Satan. Fear is an awesome weapon of Satan. I would suggest that every one of us have had some times of tremendous fear since we've been saved. Tremendous fear. Oh yeah, I've had them. I've had some times of fear that just debilitates you. leave you feeling like you've been stripped of everything meaningful. I mean, fear can really do something to you. Fear is an awesome weapon of Satan. But the Bible makes it very plain that God has defeated fear. Do you understand that? That God has defeated fear, and that fear is a victory over fear is one of the great victories that you have in this Bible. I'm telling you, God's Bible answers everything you have need of, folks. Do you understand? That all you got to do is take this Bible serious, and everything you have need of, God is in the business of taking care of it. God is in the business of taking care of it. He's an awesome God. Do you understand that? He's an awesome God, and is in the business of taking care of everything that you have need of. Nothing is outside of the realm of His wonderful love. Hallelujah. In the book of 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. God gives us this great statement spoken by the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy. I would say that Timothy, being the young man he was, being new in the faith, as we would see in this particular passage, that he was having trouble with fear. That, you know, there was a lot of things happening. Apostle Paul was stoned. And I mean, there were so many efforts made to kill Apostle Paul that to become a friend of Apostle Paul was a life-threatening decision. And Timothy had made that decision to be a friend of Apostle Paul. And so Paul writes to him about this business of fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now every Christian in this building ought to memorize that scripture. You ought to get it on your vocabulary. The word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you have fear, it didn't come from God. I want you to understand that. Now if you have fear, it didn't come from God. If you're getting scared of enemies, and you're scared of what tomorrow holds, and you're scared of whether you're going to get to keep your job or not, and there's some fear of that in this building, and I understand it, but you don't need to be afraid. I said you don't need to be afraid. You can trust Him who made it all and is in charge of every bit of it. You can trust Him, and He's not given you the spirit of fear. So simply rebuke it. Tell it to go. It didn't come from God. The beautiful thing about the Christian life is nothing that doesn't come from God do you have to put up with. The Bible said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. Do you hear that? Anybody listening? Do you hear that? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Perfect. Listen now. Perfect love casteth out fear. You get that? Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear can only hang around where love is incomplete. Fear can only hang around where love is imperfect. Fear can only hang around where somebody is always acting out of love, without love, beyond love, angry, mad, upset. I mean, when you get...